You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and this Friday includes a discussion over a very tough loss, 98-97, as the Celtics come out of the All-Star break, losing to the Milwaukee Bucks by one. Kyrie Irving's buzzer beater did not fall. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about all sorts of things from this game. We're the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam!
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam.
This was a sort of ugly one. Both teams did not shoot particularly well. There were stretches there where it got really, really ugly, really bad. But, we'll just roll with it here. Let's start with Kyrie, who struggled through this game and shot 9 of 27, 22 points, 5 assists. Most of his damage came in the third and fourth quarter. And for the first time this season, he played more than 40 minutes. He played 41 minutes in this game. Brad Stevens explained that Kyrie had finally found his rhythm late. And in the second half, he was able to get some shots down. So Brad Stevens didn't want to sit him much. And he let Kyrie kind of get back into it. He did shoot 8 of 17, 47%, 4 of 6 from 3 in the second half. His second half numbers were great. I mean, that 20 points on 17 shots in the second half is great. The first half, he was way off. Like, he was playing terribly. He was 1 of 10. He looked out of sorts. Nothing was going right for him. So the second half, he was really good. So, you can make these arguments in these games, Sam, that if he plays better first half, maybe the Celtics win this game. He didn't, and they lost.
There's so many different things that you could say. If it went a different way, then the Celtics would have won. I mean, if Semi Ojeleye doesn't grab a giant big toe and doesn't step on that line, that it was a 3 that changed to a 2, maybe they're tied right there. I mean, Kyrie was hot garbage in the first half. 1 of 10 from the field, only 1 assists, just wasn't good. But he clearly came back, found his shooting stroke, still wasn't, didn't have a lot going towards the rim. But that's not surprising. Like, that is the Bucks' MO on defense. They are going to make it as tough as possible to score around the rim, and basically they give up a bunch of 3-point shots. I think I don't know if it's concerning or you think that the Celtics are capable of performing better, but they shot 43s tonight, but only made 14 of them. Mook was 3 of 10. Smart was 1 of 5. Terry Rozier was 0 for 4. The only, decent shooting night was, I guess, Kyrie came back and was 4 for 8, and then Jaylen Brown was 3 for 4. But the Celtics they shot 38% from the field and just had not a great shooting performance whatsoever. I think Brad made a good point. It was like, the reason I went back to Kyrie so early in the fourth quarter is that basically Giannis and Middleton were on the bench to start the fourth quarter, and the Celtics were down 4. And then 90 seconds in, Malcolm Brogdon goes on a nice, personal 5-0 run and extends the lead to 8, and they needed Kyrie to come back in the game. And so I'm glad that he was, able to kind of find it in the second half there, and that's kind of what you expect from him. But you also don't expect for him to go 1 for 10 or for the Celtics to shoot 38%. So generally, if we're going to do focus on process, not results here, if I'm a Celtics fan, as a Celtics fan, I was going to say I'm pretty encouraged by this win. I thought the Like, the Bucks are averaging 117 points a game. I thought the Celtics were great on defense. I thought they did. I know Giannis finished with 30 points. He's literally a cheat code. He is unfair. But I thought they did a pretty good job of making him uncomfortable, not really, like, letting him do much. I mean, the Bucks did a good job shooting, knocking down some big shots, but I thought the Celtics did a damn good job on defense. And me thinks that when the playoff times come, you add a healthy Gordon Hayward, you add a healthy Aaron Baines. I don't think the Celtics are at all scared of this Bucks team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is going to be a fun matchup come playoff time. The Bucks, look, they played very well. I'm sure if we listen to the Lockdown Bucks podcast, they would sit there and say Chris Middleton is not going to shoot 5 of 14. Brooke Lopez is not going to shoot 4 of 11. Eric Bledsoe is not going to shoot 2 of 9. Like, they also had, they got nothing off of the bench. Mirotić was not good. George Hill, non-factor. Ilya Sobham had some plays, but
he always does that, yeah. Jerk.
Tony Snell had it, but they, like,
another one.
Another guy. Yes, exactly. They draw those that type of reaction, but
I feel like the Bucks knocked down all of their open shots, and like the Celtics were playing defense pretty well. You're about to mention the bench, which is a very good thing to bring up, because I'm looking at the plus minus for the Celtics bench, and it's all huge negatives, and the Bucks bench, it's all huge positives. Giannis was a minus 10 tonight in his 37 minutes. That means in the rest of the minutes, in the 11 minutes he wasn't playing, the Bucks were a plus 11. That needs to change for the Celtics.
Yeah, well, like, we wouldn't see Yabu out there. Yabu's minutes, I don't think, were very good. Terry Rozier.
Tice was just as bad. I mean, they needed to find something to back up Al Horford, because they were straight couldn't play defense at all when he was not in the game.
Now, this is a situation where having Baines would be a huge help, because none of those guys were good options. Tice, as much as we love Tice, not a good option in this one. Ojale was not very good. Yabu was really not very good. And Terry Rozier didn't exactly give the Celtics very good minutes either. So off the bench, only Jaylen Brown. Like, Jaylen Brown is a minus 14, but I think he gets lumped into a lot of the other guys on the floor. Like, Jaylen Brown was really good tonight, I thought. And both teams can stake a claim to, if they play their normal way, this game is much different. If Milwaukee plays its normal, the way they'd normally play, and they hit more of these shots and they get more from the bench, they'll probably sit there and argue, and rightfully so, that they probably go off and score their whatever high average, like 115, whatever it is. But the counter to that is, well, the Celtics played great defense, and they forced that. And the Celtics would sit there and say, well, Kyrie Irving came out super, super cold. For whatever reason, he just was off in the first half. And there was no Gordon Hayward, and there was no Aaron Baines. So if they have all of those things, and they could get anything from their bench, then the Celtics actually win this comfortably. And Milwaukee turns around and says, well, Milwaukee played great defense. So this is, I think, what a playoff series between these two is going to look like. It's going to be tough. It's going to get ugly at points. These guys are going to beat the shit out of each other. And it's going to come down to who can execute down the stretch and who can't. And the Celtics just didn't execute down the stretch. When you give up those open threes, I mean, who was the one that hit the three at the was it Snell or
the big with the one that was a killer one was Middleton.
It was Middleton at the end, yes.
But on that play, the Celtics did a pretty good job of stopping the initial Giannis action. He threw kind of a wild pass to the corner, and it was just kind of a broken scramble where I think both Smart and Morris went for the same guy in rotation. But yeah, it wasn't great defense there. But I don't know. I can't tell if I'm being biased or if I'm just misremembering things, or it just felt like the Celtics missed a lot of wide open shots tonight, especially from three. It feels like Mook missed a number of very open and makeable threes that we're kind of used to seeing him making. And this is the kind of concerning thing about home court advantage, because the thing we always say is role players play better at home. They make they're more like better shooting percentages at home, and they don't make these shots at, on the road. So it's like, is that a concern for the Celtics about like execution? We saw them kind of just then come out and they have basically had their worst shooting performance of the year in a tough environment on the road. I like to believe in some positive thinking that like it's not going to be that way moving forward. But you just I think 3-point shooting and accuracy from 3-point land is going to be so important. When they were like the Celtics kind of got back into the game, it was behind 3-pointers from Kyrie and Tatum. They just need to be able to make threes because that's what the Bucks do. The Bucks just give up open like pretty open threes, and if the Celtics can make them, they still shot 35% tonight, but they need like. Need to be closer to 40 if they're going to be competing with this team. Because you're right, the Bucks are going to come back and probably they're not going to have as bad a game offensively either.
Right. So when the Celtics hit that took the 53s at the beginning of the season, this was kind of like the same thing. So Marcus Morris shot 10 threes and hit three of them. You'd like to think that he's going to hit more than that. So. Things look, that's just how it goes. That's just how it goes. Sometimes he's going to be, that's not the typical shooting night for Marcus Morris. There's a lot that happened in here. Like, I'm not coming out of this game pissed. I'm disappointed. And I think there are things they could have done better. I'm disappointed that Terry Rozier didn't have a better game. I'm disappointed that, Marcus Morris didn't have a better game. I thought, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? Because I want to talk about Al Horford. Like, Al Horford had another monster.
Oh, my God. MVP. That guy's a god. CM Magic.
I mean, it's just an interesting game. I thought it was, again, not the prettiest game for sure. But I don't see this as the typical disappointing loss for the Celtics where effort was an issue. Like, I thought they played hard and they lost. So we'll come back. We'll talk about Al Horford and the rest after the break here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Al Horford, like the
God. The God.
He didn't shoot extraordinarily well, but nobody did on the Celtics except for Jaylen Brown. But man, for stretches he was carrying this team. 21 points, 17 rebounds. That's his best output, rebound output as a Celtic. 5 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. I mean, he did everything for the Celtics. 7 offensive rebounds. I mean, that dude was everywhere. He played really good defense, I thought, on Giannis. He made Giannis's life uncomfortable. It's kind of funny to say, like, Giannis had a spectacular game. So he's 30 points on 11 of 19 shooting. He hit a 3. He was 7 of 10 from the line. I mean, this was a Giannis MVP type of game. But at the same time, he had little bursts, and I thought early in the game that Al Horford did a pretty good job. As good a job as you can do on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, I think it was encouraging that you have Al Horford who can play Giannis and make things sort of difficult. And yeah, Giannis is going to spring free. I know it sounds weird. Maybe, I don't know. You can tell me if I'm wrong. I know that Giannis had an awesome game. But,
oh, I don't even think – I know Giannis scored 30. I don't think Giannis had an awesome game. Like, I know he's basically a cheat code. He can do basically whatever he wants, and he can take 2 steps and do his amazing things. I think for a Giannis – on the Giannis scale of games, I think this was not, like, the most amazing Giannis performance I've seen. And I think a lot of credit goes to Al Horford for that. You just wanted, like, put a bigger body on him, and I thought Horford did a tremendous job, especially in the first half. When Kyrie comes out and scores 2 points and, like, the rest of the team's not scoring, Horford had 10 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Like, he's the whole reason the Celtics were basically kept this game at all close to begin with. I think Al Horford, I'm saying it again, I think he's the most important player in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Like, if he can do this, can match up against Embiid like this, can match up against Giannis like this, I think he basically makes Marc Gasol irrelevant for the Toronto Raptors. Like, you're going to have to be small if you want to go to the playoffs. Like, again, they were a plus 12 in Al Horford's how many minutes did he play tonight? 37 minutes. Like, they – all the losing happened when he was not on the court, and all the winning – or they didn't win at all. But, like, he was a plus 12. Brook Lopez in 34 minutes – oh, no, sorry. I was looking at Eric Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe was a minus 15. I didn't think Brook Lopez was that great tonight. The Celtics are actually kind of attacking him with pick and pops for Horford. I mean, Horford's just the most dynamic player for the Celtics and is, like, can open up so many things and is their defensive anchor. There's just not – like, I'm out of compliments. He was phenomenal tonight. And, like, one of the biggest reasons you have to have confidence in the Celtics as they enter the playoffs, because you can see what he does against Embiid. You can see what he does against Giannis. Those are kind of the two of the best players. The only thing he can't do is probably guard Kawhi.
Yeah. and yeah, who can? So I go back to, like, Horford is the – like, he's the guy that makes everything work here. And I think tonight just kind of shows that Giannis got his points, but he worked extraordinarily hard for all of them. And that will wear him down, and that takes away opportunities from the rest of his team. And I thought Giannis did a good job passing, getting those six assists. Like, that was really great for him. But
the amount of gravity, they always talk about gravity when they talk about Steph Curry and the amount of attention he gets because of his shot. But the gravity Giannis has, like, when he makes two steps inside the paint is insane.
Yeah.
Like, Celtics the entire night just sending – I think they actually started doubling late in the fourth quarter, but just sending a second guy or just guys stepping in. I agree with you. Giannis did do a good job of kind of spraying the ball around because he does attract so much attention because – literally just with a spin move, he can get around any defender, so you need to send a second guy. So,
but here's the thing about that spin move. We saw Kyrie get in there for a jump ball. And we saw Marcus Smart get in for the jump ball at the end. The spin, I think there is, I don't want to say figuring it out, because Giannis can still get to wherever he wants to go. But I wonder if, When you know he's going to drive, and if you know that spin move is coming, if that's something, if we saw tonight just a little hint of the Celtics knowing when he drives and does, he wants to make this spin move, you can, there's like a little, it's like a video game where there's a certain instant where you can hit that button and you can get that steal. And if it's too late, it's a foul. If it's too early, it's a foul. But if you do it just at the right time, you could maybe force a jump ball or maybe get a steal. And at the very least, if you force a jump ball, they're at least resetting the offense, and it's not Giannis getting to the rim. I'm just a little tiny thing that I saw that I'm just kind of curious about. Let's get into the final play, which was interesting and is being hotly debated, I guess, from some of the things that I've seen on social media.
Takes are a flying left and right. People are upset. They have strong feelings. We're here to break it down.
So the way the play went, first of all, Marcus Morris was really pissed off because he was he was getting held. I mean, he gets fouled right away and held by, I think, Chris Middleton. And then underneath, he's got an arm. There's an arm directly around him. So there was definitely a foul. And in this freedom of movement, like, I feel like the freedom of movement thing has kind of gone away a little bit, because that's a foul that in any other circumstances been called. But
it's not a foul that you can expect to be called with 3 seconds left in a game where that's off ball. Like, off-ball fouling is pretty much legal. They would have to have some serious stones as a referee to make that call.
And I'm not saying that they should have called that foul or whatever. I mean, technically they should have. I'm certainly not blaming anything on that.
I mean,
Marcus Morris had a point. He had a point.
Yeah, but I've gone back and Zapruder filmed this like a number of times. If you really wanted to, like, letter of the law that call. That Kyrie setting that back screen moved like 17 times.
Fair enough. So,
like, I also think that there's a Kyrie may have gotten hit on the body by Bledsoe in the final play, but I mean, at that point, well, like, you can't rely on foul calls with 3.3 seconds left. I didn't think it was like, I don't know. Like, you can't be too upset. You get the ball in Kyrie Irving's hands. Right. The thing that made me the most upset about the comments after the game, people saying Al Horford was open, Kyrie should have passed it. Like I said, I've gone back and looked at the film. There's no way Kyrie Irving could have passed the ball to Al Horford with enough time left to get up a legit shot. There was probably like 1.2 seconds left when he like kind of cleared Giannis after splitting the defenders. You don't want to pass the ball to Al Horford to have him take like a rushed shot in that moment. Like, Kyrie went up. He tried to do like what he could in the moment. He may have got bumped, but I don't know. I'm not too upset about it. Like, no. Yes, I think there's an argument to be made, but I mean, the last 2 minute report is going to be very, be one of those fun ones, but at the end of the day, I think it's like you can't hang your head on everything that happened at the end of the game. I will say, going back one possession, Marcus Smart just Koba striking Giannis to force that on the final shot.
Awesome.
It was insane. It was the most Smart was making crazy plays the entire night, just steals in the backcourt, which you just don't expect to see. But that was awesome. And then the double tip with the shot clock, I have no idea what was going on there. I don't know the rule. To me, it makes sense for the shot clock to start once Giannis tips it, but I guess the rule is that it would only start once Brook Lopez touches it, and they ruled that he caught the ball and then shot it, which you can't do in 0.2 seconds. It was all a crazy amount of good times, and the last 2 minute report is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, yes, yeah. You can't. You can only tip with less than 0.3. So if you catch it and then lay it in, that's you're just not allowed to do it. And it's so impossible for a reaction time. Like, that's why they come up with that determination. Like, 0.3 has been determined the least amount possible time to actually catch and quickly shoot. So he caught it, I guess. That's the determination, and he didn't. Going back to the final play, there is a point here. If you want to make the argument about passing to Al Horford, Kyrie gets the ball at the top of the key, spins, and takes a step to the three-point line with about 2 seconds left, let's say. A little bit, like 2.3. Now, Giannis is still square, so he hasn't slid over or anything like that. If he's going to make the pass to Al Horford, it's going to be at that point, and it's going to be like a bounce pass that leads Al Horford down further down the baseline a little bit, because that's the angle to get it past Giannis. Once Kyrie has made the decision at that point, like, I can't get that ball, because I'm not 100% sure he can get the ball to Al Horford there. Once he makes that decision, that's it. He's going to the rim. And if he tries to pass, I'm looking at it right now. Once he clears, and if you look at the side angle, once he clears Antetokounmpo, there's like 1.5. It takes 0.5 to get out to Al Horford, and he takes it like a full second to chamber his shot. He doesn't have the quickest release, so that's going to be a tight one.
No, he's got to get in his real wide stance before he does anything.
Yeah,
so, Al Horford has the widest stance shot I've ever seen.
Yeah, so I get it. Yes, Al Horford is open, and in any other circumstance, if he had another second or two on the clock, then he probably could have kicked it out to Al Horford. I think once you're past Giannis at that point, like, you've got to get the shot up. And here's the other thing to consider. You got to get the shot up early enough, hopefully, and Kyrie didn't. You got to get the shot up early enough to maybe get a tip in. And I think it just took Kyrie so long to clear Giannis that he just had to force something up with his left hand. Ideally, in that situation, if you're going to the rim, you want to get that shot off with like a couple of seconds left. And if you miss, then somebody gets the tip in. You have an opportunity for a tip in. And even if you make it and the other team gets a half second left, you can defend. So that's such a bang play.
It's all nitpicking at this point. And I think the whole design of the action was to try to get Morris the ball. I mean, I think Marcus Smart just came out and said the plan was to go to Morris first. Like that, and that's going to Brad's like go-to plays is just kind of get a clear out or a seal by the rim. So after that, you go to your second option, which is Kyrie at the top of the key. And you just hope Kyrie is great. And at this point, he wasn't. But after that, it's great. I think if we're gonna nitpick plays, let's travel back to like two more possessions. Eric Bledsoe basically got to the rim at ease against Mook to put the put the Bucks up three. That was just like that was probably like a had more of an impact. You just wouldn't expect Eric Bledsoe to be able to back down Mook like that, or he didn't really back him down, but he basically just got a layup right over him at the rim. That's the most problematic play down the stretch for me.
I have to look at that again.
It was not great. It was basically Kyrie made his first FU three. I think then he made another one, or no, then Bledsoe came down. The crazy thing is Giannis didn't score any of the final points for the Bucks. It was Bledsoe, Brogdon, and Middleton with that huge three. But those two Brogdon and Bledsoe's plays, and the Bledsoe play specifically, I thought that was a kind of a breakdown of Celtics defense. So where Al Horford has to come down and hit the three next time, that only basically ties the game instead of actually putting the go ahead. And I think that was like the biggest problem there. But I don't know. At this point, in any 1-point loss, you can like pick out specific plays to nitpick.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with your tweets and a junk drawer. So stick around here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We ask you to tweet us with the hashtag #RainandJays after games or during games. We'll read them, some of them, not all of them, because they're getting to be a lot. Sorry, we can't read all of them. We'll try our best to get everybody in there, give you all a shout out. We appreciate you guys giving us those tweets. So hashtag #RainandJays, and of course, Rain and Junk. That's where Jam comes in. We end the show on a high note. That can mean two things. And then, so here we go. Rain and Junk. Rain and Jays. At Celtics Mike. This is Rain and Junk. RJ Hunter would have made that game winner. Yeah, RJ
Hunter. He was active tonight.
He was active.
Or was he active or was he just in the building?
I think he was
active. Doesn't matter. He was there.
I think he was active. He was there, yeah. At Dallas Nelson 35, maybe, just maybe, instead of forcing an off-balance left-hand shot, give it up to a wide-open Al Horford instead. Just the thought. We just discussed that. Let's see. At NP Nickerson, Kyrie's defense tonight was lazy and suspect. I don't know. I think his defense was not maybe at its best. I have to go back, and when I rewatch the game, it's something I'll watch for.
There was one play in the first half where I think Kyrie thought he got fouled and kind of threw up some nonsense, and then just didn't get back, and it led directly to Bucks points. But I thought his effort but in the first half, he was clearly just not right.
Right.
I don't know if it's his knee injury or if it's just getting back from the All-Star break, but his first half was no bueno.
No, his first half was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible first half. But like I said before, the second half was great. So not his best game at all, for sure. But yeah, so I'll take another look at it when I rewatch the game to see exactly how bad the defense was. Let's see. Horford should be the defensive player of the year from Robert Denton. it's the perennial Al Horford defensive player of the year award. Let's see here. At Kalela Sam, the Celtics game is like if they had one of their signature bad quarters on offense before the whole game, yet they're still in a position to win. I really don't think that this was the same type of thing, because when the Celtics have their bad quarters, it's very ISO heavy. I thought they moved the ball fairly well. I thought they were still trying to do, like, they were still trying to run an offense. I just think that they missed a lot of shots, but I didn't see the same type of, like, crappy offense that I've seen, like, in the collapse against the Lakers or in the collapse against the Clippers. Like, at no point was I watching this game and thinking the same, like, oh, boy, here we go again. They just look terrible. I don't think it was the same thing. I think this was just a bad shooting night. Like, they just collectively, probably first game rust off of the All-Star break. Both teams didn't shoot well. I don't agree that this was the same type of thing.
No, I think it was just it was a rock fight. I mean, look at the first quarter. It was Celtics won 22-20. The third quarter, where it was really ugly, they won 21-19. It's just, I think it was a case of both teams playing very good defense. But yeah, I agree. I thought the Celtics missed a bunch of open shots tonight. It wasn't like terrible shots. I mean, I think you can. So there was a really bad three from Tito at one point. There's some I don't know. I was about to get on Tatum for the mid range, but I thought the mid range he took was like, it's Tatum in space at the foul line. Like, I have all faith in the world that he can hit. He's capable of hitting that shot. So I agree with you. This wasn't bad Celtics offense tonight.
Right. At Prof Chop, watching Giannis take three steps between every dribble is getting a little old. There was that one play. It looked like he took five steps. Driving down the middle of the lane, and he got the dunk.
If he does a hop step into two more steps, and covers the from 3-point line to the basket, it's just never going to look right.
So I think, and this is like one of those deals where, while you're dribbling, you can like the ball can you can kind of like. The ball can kind of stay up top, like if you picture somebody dribbling. And it's just kind of like spinning in somebody's hand, and it just hesitates at the top, and it's still a live dribble. Like, you could put the ball down again. Like, you can shuffle your feet like 2, 3, 4 times, like do one of those quick shuffles and then gather. And then you get two steps. Like, that's, I think the rule is, once you gather, you get two steps. But if you're shuffling your feet while the dribble is live, you can tap dance while the dribble is live. And
it just so happens Giannis can cover 80,000 feet in that brief moment.
It's wild. And at first I'm screaming, everybody's screaming. Like, it looks like that looks like 10 steps, but then you look at it and you say, oh, okay. I can see it. Like, he definitely gets away with travels for sure. But sometimes it looks worse than it really is. And I think it's a sign that the NBA should really look at its traveling rules and what constitutes a gather. And I don't know, like, it's hard. I could try to look at it on the video and break it down, but that's the rule. So it's tough. Sometimes it looks bad. But I don't know. Okay. This will transition us into the rain. Actually, let's do this one. At Funky Celtics, at one point in the quarter, and this was early on, it almost looked like they were freezing Tatum out. Anything going on there? He needs the ball more. I did not at any point see something that made me think the Celtics were freezing Tatum out. He got 13 shots, which is, I'd like to see him take more shots, but you know, the Celtics also put up 102 shots. So that's
to 88 for the Bucks. Like, yeah, they had so many more opportunities.
Like, 102. Like, I'm a huge fan of when the Celtics put up 100 shots like that. It's not sustainable, but anytime you can get like 90 shots up, and that's getting out into transition. That's getting second chance points or offensive rebounds. So it's I just, to answer that, I didn't see Tatum get frozen out. So, but
Celtics fans are hilarious in that they'll complain that Tatum doesn't get enough shots and then simultaneously complain that he takes too many mid range shots at the same time. It's like, if you want to force the ball to Tatum, you know what Tatum's going to do if you just give him the ball there? It's just, he's going to do ISO and then pull up from about 18 feet, and then people are going to be mad online. Like, it's just, you can't have it both ways.
This one's going to transition us now into the rain and junk from at Joey Angus 11. Scal call Giannis's three-step Euro step a Euro step. Now, I had the TNT audio up. I had my two TVs, and because the TNT game was like a second ahead of the NBC Sports game broadcast, so I just was listening to the TNT one, and so I didn't hear it, but that's great. As a Greek, I'm all for calling it a Euro step. I don't know if he called it a gyro step, which is wrong. It's not a gyro, it's a Euro. And
so one time I was about 8 years old, and my brother suggested to me to go into the local Greek pizzeria in Watertown, Massachusetts, and order a gyro instead of a gyro. How do you say it? Euro?
Euro.
Yeah, well, the man yelled at me, and he corrected me, and it was a traumatic event for a young 8-year-old Jan Packer.
Right. The Americanized, people say gyros. I get it. Like that's the Americanized version. But what makes it funny is instead of Euro step, it's a Euro step. And that makes it funny to me anyway. I don't know if that's how it went, but that's just me being Greek. All right. Junk time.
All right. This is one from did you just say one from Joey Angus?
Yeah.
He's got another one. Eric Bledsoe is such a bum. He hasn't done anything yet, but the camera just panned over him, and I just hate his face. And I'm all for irrational hatred of Celtics opponents. And the Bucks lineup, especially their bench, is just filled with irrational hatreds, guy. You got Eric Bledsoe. Malcolm Brogdon seems to just kill the Celtics every time, but I don't have as much contempt for him. But then Ilyasova, Tony Snell, and now they have Mirotić? It's absurd.
A lot of hateable guys.
You think that the Sixers would be the main they get all the star power, but in terms of depth and hateable guys, it's all the Bucks. This one's from Celtics Mike. Jan Packard is so happy he's not in Milwaukee watching the Red Panda halftime show. Oh man, Red Panda really made me look like a fool tonight, because listeners of the show probably know that I'm out on Red Panda.
You are absolutely out of
it. She hasn't changed her act in 25 years. She plays some very creepy music that no one enjoys. She does the same thing over and over again. And recently she's been slipping. But then tonight I see some tweets from the some of the Bucks beat reporters. And so I go on this whole Red Panda rant. And then I see some tweets that she's throwing alley-oops to like the Bucks JetBlue flight crew. Basically, she added something new to her act just to spite me tonight. It was God damn you, Red Panda. Now she should be doing that every night. She should be having more basketball. I've seen the bowl trick. The bowl trick is quite nice. I know she can go up to five bowls, but I just, you know, I need some do something new.
I saw it's Jay like King. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I saw Jay King, who has the same Red Panda distaste as you, but he said she showed him up tonight. She came out hot. I don't know.
Yeah, she landed five bulls. I mean, it's like if a stand-up comedian did the same like tight five for every like show for 25 years. So you got to change the material at some point. I'm sick of giving her a pass. Yes, it's very impressive, the bull trick, but come on, flip something else up on top of your head. Maybe some plates. Maybe some silverware. I don't know. Change it up. It's frustrating. At TM Sports Account, Kevin Harlan just made that spilled beer sound more entertaining than Super Bowl 53. Yeah, at some point, Mook got some beer spilled on him. It's funny because he's known as Flask Dad to some of the Weird Celtics Twitter community, and he probably smelled of alcohol. But yeah, Kevin Harlan was – one, he's just so much better than anyone else TNT has. But that was probably the most excited Kevin Harlan was all night, was just the beer, which was it was kind of weird.
Yeah, he did not appreciate the crappy shooting, and then that got him super excited about the beer.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really appreciate the crappy shooting either, but it happened. This is from at Chris DeFusco. Chris Middleton always has a perfect who farted face, and I'm going to have to say strong agree on that one. And there's just going to be a verbal meme here. It's Marcus Smart on that sweet alley-oop from Al Horford. It's a picture. And then so it's, and then the caption says, me to Marcus Smart. And then the basket is, not being mad about this game. And that's from Halati, one of the great meme guys on Weird Celtics Twitter. And I thought that was just a perfect meme to sum up this game. You'd be happy about the Marcus Smart dunk. He did a cool, like, weird looking through a goggle eye celebration afterwards. But you can't get too down on the Celtics after this game. Let's move on to my own personal junk drawer. The listener guys did a pretty good job of, they know my brand at this point, which is basically just hating Red Panda. It's a lot of irrational hatred. I don't know if you saw earlier in the week, I got in a fight on Twitter with Franklin, the Sixers mascot.
I did.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
you're really channeling your Robin Lopez. Like, that, there's no surprise you want Robin Lopez on this team. Big Simpsons fan and very anti-mascot.
Well, I'm not anti-mascot. I'm anti that specific mascot. mild rant about Giannis. We already talked about him, his alleged traveling, but he had two chase down blocks tonight that everyone was very excited for, but I thought both were fouls. He beat the shit out of Jason Tatum, like, with the body and the follow through on the arm, and everyone was going, oh, Giannis block. Yes, it was very impressive that he basically started that possession at the opposing foul line and managed to catch up. But I thought he fouled Tatum. I thought he fouled Terry Rozier on that. I get that he's like a very nice boy with a joyous smile, and he's just a beautiful baby. But eventually he's getting too friendly a whistle for my liking. Any thoughts on that as part of the Greek delegation? I thought the entire thing was Skata, Yasu, no bueno.
We'll just leave it at that.
Jason Tatum had a wild putback where he switched hands in midair. It was better than MJ's switch hands in midair layup. I know you have strong thoughts on that.
Yes. I thought that too. I was going to tweet something if I wasn't working. I was going to tweet something that side by side and saying that Tatum's was better.
I believe I saw that tweet, so someone got it, but let's see. You know, the listener guys did a great job. Oh, just before that Smart alley-oop, it was started by Kyrie diving on the floor for a ball. So to the listener before, said Kyrie's defense was not great. I think he was still putting the effort in. And that's about it. Like, once the game gets really close, my ability to focus on nonsense really goes out the window. Oh, finally, I saw the first Al Horford CM commercial actually on television.
That's great.
They played it at halftime, and there was like a clip of him running on a bridge near Science Park that goes near the garden. And I literally just yelled out, I've been on that bridge. And then I laughed at myself for the next 5 minutes for being such an idiot. So shouts to CM. Shouts to that bridge.
He's pushing a sled outside down an alley in the rain. Like, that's not where Al Horford works out.
It is when he's hyped on that CM, he would do anything.
It was nice to see him running down the street with the Dominican kids with the flag. Like, it's very like, rah rah. That was a nice moment. It was all, there's a lot of different things going on in that ad. And then of course the end with the CM, the money shot. It's good. My only thing is, did you see the clip of Don Nelson?
Yeah,
it's just hilarious. I'm gonna retweet it now, and this is just Don Nelson asked what he's been doing after basketball because he's been living in Hawaii. He says, "I've been smoking some pot,"
does he look like it?
He looks like a guy who's figured out about smoking pot. and who's got next to him? Jason Richardson and Steven Jackson. Like, that's – I don't know what those guys are doing there, but they love that Don Nelson has gotten into smoking pot. Like, that is hilarious. He just looks like a pimp right now. I mean, he's got the long hair. He always wears the black suit coat with the black shirt and the chain. I don't know. Is that a chain? Is that like a bead?
Oh, it's a chain. He wears a gold chain now at all times.
That's just – I mean –
he's living his best life.
This is Don Nelson really just This is perfect. It's just the perfect. This is a guy who would just crush beers. Like the Don Nelson is famous for like crushing cases of beer at a time, and getting away from that and getting into the pot has just done wonders for him. He just looks awesome.
And, I agree. Strong agree. Don Nelson's the man.
Massachusetts, it's legal, so enjoy responsibly. That's it. That's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you are a new listener, welcome aboard. Hope you are subscribing to the show after this. Please do. If you're a regular subscriber, go ahead and give us that 5-star rating. Good written review helps us out a lot. That's it. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.